In Revelation 18, I want to look at something that is kind of controversial, maybe, and kind of amongst religious crowds. It may be kind of misunderstood. Maybe not now, but has been misunderstood by probably everybody in here. But I want to look at something today, that Mystery Babylon the Great. And Babylon the Great, when I was talking about Babylon the Great, I'm talking about a spiritual system. And I know everybody talks about Babylon, they think of a city. That's why they were thinking of Babylon, ancient Babylon, and what was the guy's name that hid in the hole and they got him out of there? Hussein. People were like, oh, he's the Antichrist. Yeah, well, he wasn't the Antichrist. But they think of the city and they think of the area. But when it's talking about mystery, Babylon the Great is talking about the mystery of the fact that it's a spiritual system of religion. And, narrow is the way of truth. The Bible talks about the narrow way. It talks about the broad path. And the narrow way of truth is right here. It's about this narrow. It's right here, the Bible. About as wide as that book, amen? But the broad way is all-encompassing of the Babylonian system. Even people that claim to be atheists or agnostics are partakers of the Babylonian system. They have taken on other gods and other rituals. And if you think for a second the battle over abortion isn't a spiritual battle, think again. The devil is using that as a sacrificial tool for his system. The devil's rampant in this world and the religious system. And I thank God that we have a Bible and we have some understanding of rightly dividing and we have some grip of where we're headed in this world. I know where we're going eternally. If you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, even so come Lord Jesus. But where we're heading in this world, we're not looking to make everything better and better. We're looking to save souls out of the pit of hell. And I know we don't save them, but you don't understand what I'm saying. To snatch them out of the teeth of the lion before it's too late. But the Babylonian system, which is being carried primarily by Rome today, is a system of many tentacles. And the tentacles have an amazing reach. They reach around the world. That's what we're going to look at today a little bit. But they have gotten into infiltrated almost every church system, almost every religious belief system. And even today in churches that are right on salvation, they have let in the devil's music and the devil worldly stuff. And if you're going to go into church with worldly music and worldly things, it's like trying to take a bath in a septic tank. Amen. God wants us to be clean. And I do have an understanding of deception, and I understand that the devil's the ultimate deceiver, and I understand he's trying to destroy and pervert everything. I understand that, and I'm not saying all those wicked people. I'm just saying they've made a compromise that's costing. It's costing people in their spiritual walk. It's costing people in their eternal rewards. Again, it's bad enough to think about being dirty and trying to clean up in the pig pen of the world and to bring the world into church. And it's nothing different, in my opinion, than trying to bathe in a septic tank. It's just ridiculous. You can't get the stuff off of you. You're in the stuff. Amen. That's one thing church is about, and it's a big thing about come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. This is a couple times a week to come out from among them, where you're not battling all the garbage. And I'm not saying we're better than anybody. I just think we've been given some light and some understanding, and I hope and pray that we're pleasing to God. But the tentacles of that Babylonian system and the subtlety of the devil, more subtle than any beast of the field, is under-realized, I guess, under-appreciated, as is the power of Christ, and the power of blood of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Word of God. I think one of the most under-appreciated and under-evaluated, underestimated things in the world is the power of the Word of God. I really do believe that. And if you don't believe that, you're sitting here today in a church that is going against the flow. And you wouldn't be if it wasn't for the Word of God. Amen? Say, well, you know, we've figured out some things. No, the Word of God has done something to you that's not explainable by man, other than God did it. And that's what it'll do. But the Babylonian system here, that is far-reaching and very influential in not only churches but in politics, because the Babylonian system is a two-headed snake, amen? The Babylonian system is a political, religious, or religious-political entity. And that's why I say we don't want to get so caught up in politics. Now, we understand there's a side that is closer to the Bible and a side that's further away from the Bible. That's easy to see. But there's also the Bible. And that's our anchor point. It's not the Democrat Party or the Republican Party, amen? This is our anchor point. And when somebody's wrong, it doesn't matter whether it's red or blue. The wrong is wrong and right is right. Amen? But I want to look at this thing today, and we'll jump back to chapter 17, verse 5 for just a moment. And upon her head, it's talking about the great whore, and upon her head was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. I want to see the religious system. We talk about that system, and it's an ecumenical system. It's a bring everybody together system. And it's not a come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. It's everybody get together and bring your own unclean thing. And that's what the world's going to look like a few minutes after the church leaves. Kumbaya, everybody get together and bring your own unclean thing. That's what religion is. You plug it in here and I'll plug this in there, and we'll develop a system, and you know, we can get Molech out, and we can get all the different gods together, and we can worship whatever and however and kumbaya and have the rock concerts and do all this and the LGBTQRSTUV flag and the trans whatever. We could just get all together, and can't we just love one another and forget God, and who cares what he said? That's the truth of the matter. That's where it's headed. And it's being carried by this system. And when I say the system is carried by Rome, I want to remind you what we just talked about. Not just one pope, but the first pope that said there's room in Genesis 1 for creation and evolution. Think about where that is led. I'll tell you where it's led. It's led to the ability to a bunch of God-hating, Bible-rejecting, perverse thought process leaders stirring up the pot to a point where a young man would climb on a roof and take a shot at the presidential candidate, where another young man, through this believing you come from monkeys and there is no purpose, you're going to have to find a purpose and make a purpose, and when you're gone, it's all over, and you just go back to the cosmos, to the energy, you're just part of it, you go back to dirt and all that. There's nothing after this. And their idea is they want a name. They want something to live on after them, and you get a guy climb on a roof to shoot one of God's people because he won't quit spreading the truth. Now, I don't care one way or another. God didn't call me into politics. I could care less what them guys are doing. I hope they all get saved. But when a man will stand there and proclaim Jesus Christ, and maybe not every time, but talk about repentance and the need to get saved, and then he's taken out like that, it's because somebody hates God. They hate the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an opposition to truth. It's an opposition to truth. And this has all been culminating from, well, you're just an accident that come from a monkey and you don't really matter. If it feels good, do it. Your reality is your reality. Your truth is your truth. But my reality and my truth may be different. Well, let me tell you something in all reality. Reality is reality. And I understand our minds can get all messed up. And I believe that's the grand plan right now, is to get us all goofed up and fighting amongst ourselves, even against other Bible believers over trivial things. But I believe that one of the grand plans of the devil is to get people to believe they're worth nothing. And you know what people want to have? They want to have some value. Most people want to have some value. Most people don't want to think, I'm going through this world and I'm going through the pains and the heartaches and the stresses and the hard work and everything for nothing. There's got to be a purpose. To the point where somebody would say, well, the only way I'm going to have an everlasting purpose is if I leave a mark on society that nobody can deny. And do something crazy, like take another human being's life because of his words. But make no mistake about it, it's not the believer's words that the devil hates, it's the Word of God, Jesus Christ, the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And the enemy of the truth is the devil, and he's got people on the ropes thinking that, hey, I'm just dirt, I'm going back to the dirt, and I'm going to leave my mark. And he's got people to think there is no judgment. There is no judgment. Even if they're judged on the earth, there's no eternal judgment. And they're willing to sacrifice the opportunity that God Himself has given him to walk this earth and please Him by being saved and pleasing Him, walking with Him, talking with Him. They're willing to sacrifice that and roll the dice on their belief that there's no eternal judgment. But the religious system. Look at chapter 18. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. We see the religious system, now we see the reach of her perversion. It is into everything, like we'd mentioned before. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You know what it says? The nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now I understand directly, doctrinally, historically, even though it's in the future, we're looking at the tribulation time and we're looking at when the devil's taking control of this and God says, all right, have your way with it for a while. I understand that. But I'm telling you today, all nations today on this earth have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The main system that's carrying the Babylonian religion is in control of just about everything. And if you don't believe that, look up your congressmen, look up the senators and the House of Representatives, look them all up and see what their religious beliefs are, and two-thirds of them are connected directly to the whore that's carrying that mess. Amen. Say, we're all right because we got a leader that wants to make America great again. We're all right because the Speaker of the House says he's born again. We're all right because, and I'll tell you what, I think we have a few good men that are in them offices that want to do right. But then I think, again, we have a lot of men that are drunk with the wine of her fornication, that are being led by the tentacles of that Babylon the Great, that spiritual mess that is overtaking the world. You say, well, I don't think it's that bad. Well, I do think it's that bad because we're at the door of the rapture. And if you read the Bible and what's going to happen after that, at the door of the rapture, you have to be pretty close to that mess being fulfilled. And we're there. I mean, when you look and see what's going on around the world, how the UN, they'll get a Palestinian leader to get up and just trash Israel, and people, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Israel get up and say something, and they say, oh, you occupying Zionists. What's happening? Well, just what the Bible said, the world's against Israel. But the religious system, the reach of the perversion. Look at verse 4. Now, I understand where we're at. I understand it's talking about tribulation, and he's calling Israel to get out of that mess. But look what it says. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that's Israel, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. I understand it's Israel, but you can spiritually apply that to you and I, to the church. It says, the request to separate. The request to separate. When Paul said, come out from among them and be ye separate, he was talking to the church. When God says it here, he's talking to Israel. You know what he wants his people? And if he wants his people to come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, saith the Lord, what do you think he wants of his children? You're not just God's people, praise the Lord. You're God's children. You know what he wants more than anything for you? For you to be clean. You know what he wants more than anything for you? He wants to be able to hand you something at the other side of the judgment seat of Christ. He wants to be able to look at you and look at me, and say, well done, a good and faithful servant. He chastens his children because he must. He doesn't do it because he likes to. But he wants to reward. And whether you like it or not, here in this crazy, perverted world, God is not an everybody-gets-a-trophy kind of God. Amen? Anybody can get eternal life by putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, repent toward Christ, and call on Him for salvation. Anybody can have eternal life. But if you're rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to earn it. By telling the flesh no, and telling the Spirit yes. Amen? Well, preacher, you know, I get tired of hearing all this. I get beat up every Sunday. I get beat up on Wednesday. And I just like the music better at the other church. I like that. And I've got an opportunity to be a part of something that is bigger and better. Well, if it's bigger and better, you better make sure it's not bigger and better in a bad way. Amen? I'm not saying there aren't some good churches out there, but I'm saying most of the Baptists don't leave Baptist churches to go to better churches. Most of the Baptists leave better Baptist church. Not because of the preacher, but because they're Christ-centered and Bible-centered, to go someplace that's just, it makes my flesh feel good. Amen. The request to separate. You realize when God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, the from among them crowd, the crowd that you're supposed to separate from is getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I know at the rapture we're going to separate, amen. Praise the Lord. You better be close to people that you love or in church with, because you're going to have to go up with some people you don't like, amen. It might as well be your church family. But the opposition here in the last days of the church age is getting stronger and stronger. The request to separate. Look at verse 5. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. The remembering of her iniquities. You know what her iniquities were? Rejecting the truth, taking on false gods, murdering the prophets, killing the martyrs, trying to kill the truth, infiltrating God's system of church worship, and trying to change it into the devil's system. And I don't know. I know we don't have a perfect church here. Praise the Lord. We're not going to have a perfect church till God calls us out here. We'll all be perfect in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. But we got a perfect Bible. We have a perfect Savior. We've got a real good songbook. Amen. Even with me singing out of it, it's still a good songbook. We still have some old-fashioned boundaries that I believe are good. We still have an old-fashioned purpose that I believe is right. And we still have Jesus Christ that I believe wants to lead everything here through His Word and through His Spirit. But God, remember her iniquities. Look at this in 6 through 8. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The remembering of her iniquities, the reward for her works. The reward for her works. You remember back over in chapter 17, we didn't talk about this yet, but we talked about it before in different Bible studies and Revelation and different things. But what happens at the end? At the end of tribulation, and I believe the man of sin comes out of Rome, and I believe the man of sin is all about that, and I believe halfway through that thing, you talk about them that dragon with the 10 horns, and the 10 horns are 10 kings, and they turn on the whore and destroy it. And then it's game on for the last 3.5 years for the devil and for God to allow things to go the way His judgment will allow things to go. But the reward for her works is destruction. Now we know we're Bible believers. We believe that God saves by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you're rewarded according to your works as far as eternal rewards. But you're saved because of the rewards that Jesus Christ earned, because of His merit, because of His work. For by grace you save through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, and not of works, as any man should boast. We understand that. We understand that people that reject Jesus Christ are condemned already and they'll face an eternal damnation. We understand that. Don't you think that if God would do that to an individual that rejected His Son, that He's going to be serious about destroying a religious system that opposed His Word? And He will. The reward for her works. Here's an interesting thing. Look at the reaction of her partners. Her bedfellows, if you will, her partners. And the kings of the earth, verse 9, who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. Jump down to verse 15. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is likened to this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. The reaction of her partners. And that's what the whole world's doing right now. They're going along saying, who can stop us? We've got our wealth. We've got our power. And that's what you're looking at when you're looking at the United Nations and those folks. You're looking at people that think they're unstoppable. And they're in a system. And they're all trading with that system. They've sold their soul. I'm not saying they can't be saved. I'm saying they've decided it's more important to have worldly power than it is to have Jesus Christ. And when that system's destroyed, and I do believe that's a city also, according to what we're just reading, but it's a spiritual system that will be destroyed. So what do I mean? I mean just what I said. It talks about all nations being involved with this system because it's not just a city. It's a spiritual entity. It's a spiritual system. The reward for her works, the reaction of her partners. Oh boy, look at verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. The rejoicing in heaven. You remember at one point we read in Revelation where there were souls under the altar and they're saying, how long, O Lord, how long, O Lord, till you avenge us? You know what they did? They stood for Jesus Christ and they were beheaded for the cause of Christ. Now they're under the altar saying, how long, Lord, how long? And then when he finally says, all right, it's time for the whore to be judged. You know what they're saying? Hallelujah, praise the Lord, the whore's done. The rejoicing in heaven. Verse 23, I want to land here for just a little bit. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. I want to talk for just a few minutes about the reality of the battle. The reality of the battle. Think about these words. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Now I understand we're looking at a tribulation time, but if you think that's not going on right now, you need to wake up. Because the wickedness and the evil that you see around the world and the hate for truth that you see around the world is brought on by the father of lies, the father of deception, and the sorceries that deceive men into thinking they can be God. They can be God. They can do what they want. They have nobody to answer to. There's a spiritual deception that's going on today, and it's going to ramp up after the church leaves, but it's going on today. So what are the sorceries? Well, I mean, they've told you. Who's told you? The deceived have told you. So what do I mean? The music, the drugs, the abortion push, the hate for the truth, the evolution crowd, all these things are not just mental processes. These are spiritual battles where the devil is deceiving people, and the reason he's able to deceive them is they do not read the Bible. They do not submit to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, and if you don't, you could be deceived too. I'm not talking about eternal damnation, but I'm talking about the system that's set up to deceive people. You've heard the music crowd say, well, you know, they sold their soul to the devil, and they make music mocking God and mocking heaven and mocking hell and all that junk that they put out. And then they push dope, fornication, adultery, lasciviousness, just anything goes. And they get these young people, they, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they were getting these young people to follow these people, and you know, they were on the highway to hell. Amen. That's where they were on the highway to hell. And that's not the highway, it's the low way. Amen. The highway is the broad way is the highway to hell. The highway is the narrow way that heads up. Amen. But they just open door after door after door after door after door in their lives till they're completely deceived. And now, with the internet and everybody being connected 24/7, and you think some of these young folks aren't connected 24/7, it's probably like 22/7. Probably a couple hour break a day when they're zombied out trying to sleep so they can get up and get their next fix of garbage from the internet. And now we got somebody that believes telling the truth is hate, and you stop hate with murder. That's not rational. That's not rational. Oh, that person's a hater. They're a killer. Let's kill them and hate them. That's not rational thought process. Oh, I was... somebody thinks they were born trapped in a different body, or they were really meant to be a raccoon or a billy goat or a house cat or a dog. Or that's not rational thought. You know what that is? That is delusion brought on by deception because of what we looked at in verse 23. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. It's going on. The devils of this world are taking things over, and they're taking over the minds of the youth. And we're paying for it with our taxes. Amen. Say, well, let's just love everybody and, you know, forgive them, and let's not get anybody fired over their comments. No, get them fired over their comments. Amen. Maybe it'll wake them up and they'll get saved instead of burning in hell. Maybe when they're down at the soup kitchen instead of in their little cozy, you know, 4-hour day job, where they can hide out on the internet and trash God's people the rest of the day. Maybe that'll wake them up. Maybe that'll put them in a position where they actually get saved. Amen. I'm not saying vengeance is fine, saith the Lord. He said vengeance is mine. But I mean, if you're going to do something that's not witnessing for God, and they're born again believers, if they're not going to witness, they might as well be doing something like that. Amen. But what a mess. The reality of the battle is so intense and the battle is so subtle. And the more you try to live for God, the more often you're going to find yourself just feeling worn out. And it's not like working all day and being tired. It's an unexplainable fatigue because it's spiritual. When you sit face to face with somebody or stand toe to toe with somebody and you're talking to them about the Lord, and you've got the opposition of a devil and the opposition of a deceived person that's been caught up in the Babylonian system, it'll wear you out. I never understood until I started preaching in the prisons, but that I understood a little bit then. But boy, when you get behind the pulpit in a church on a regular basis, you understand what spiritual fatigue is, because every message is a battle. Just like the battle you have on Sunday morning to get to church a lot of times, I get that battle. Plus, if you're going to preach the Word of God, every message is a battle. And then you've got sometimes people that want to battle. But you got a battle going here, a battle going there, a fire going here, a fire going there. And you're like, Lord, who puts out this fire? Who puts that? Is it me or you? Which one of us is supposed to put out that fire? And that's the way we kind of got to spiritually discern things in our lives. Is this fire is going here and that fire is going there. And the Lord's like, well, what can you do with this fire anyway? Nothing. You can't reach it. Your hose isn't long enough to get there. You don't have enough water to put out that fire. So let that fire go. Somebody else take care of that. I'll take care of that later. Put out the fires you can put out. Preach to the people you can preach to. Rest when you need rest. I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about rest in the Word of God and on your knees in prayer, because we are entering a phase in the last days of this church age that it's going to be so intense and so fatiguing that you won't be able to handle it if you're not praying and reading your Bible. Because the reality of the battle is not your mind, praise the Lord, thank God it's not, your mind and my mind against somebody else's mind. It's the Holy Spirit of God against unevil or unholy, unrighteous, evil spirits. And the more you are filled with the words of God and the Spirit of God, the more you'll be able to keep battling forward. The reality of the battle and what we see going on around us, we cannot change it by voting in a certain politician. We can't change it. You can change some things with your vote collectively, but you can't change this spiritual battle with your vote. The only thing that's going to change the spiritual battle is preaching the truth and getting more people on God's side. But we also know how this thing ends. We just read it, part of it. So the religious system, we understand it has tentacles into everything. By the grace of God, cut them tentacles off and don't let them in here, amen? The reach of her perversion, it's everywhere. The request to separate, come out from among them and be ye separate. We're supposed to separate from that stuff, not bring it in, but get out away from it. And not be isolated, but insulated, right? Outside the walls, we don't have to hide from every evil place or evil thing. I'm not saying you go hang out at the bar or anything. I'm just saying not to hide from everybody, but to be a witness. But to come to church and be separate for a while. Go to your prayer closet, your Bible study at home, be separate for a while. Put your phone down. One thing I liked what that Charlie Kirk said that I agree with, and I don't care if you call it the Sabbath or not, the keeping the Sabbath, I think you ought to shut your phone off for one day and at least maybe check it in the morning and the evening if you have to. But I think you ought to have one day of rest. We're getting 0 days of rest. We are constantly being assaulted, insulted, attacked by everything, everywhere. We're going to wear out to nothing. Stand before Jesus Christ, say, Lord, look what I did. I made it. I'm still saved. And he'll say, yeah, but you wasted your whole life. Listen to Rush Limbaugh and then this guy and that guy and the other guy and this preacher and that preacher and the other preacher. And you read your Bible about, I don't know, 4 hours total in your lifetime. Maybe 2 hours you were serious about it. I believe that's going to come up at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not saying that we're going to doctrinally say that's the way it's going to be, but I would not be surprised at all if people don't, look what I did. I fought a guy on YouTube. I changed his mind. I shut him down. He finally left the conversation. The Lord's going to say, yeah, you just whacked his ear off and wasted your time. Oh, but I was listening to all the, you know, everything on there, and I just know. I can tell you every conspiracy in the world because everything's a conspiracy now. Well, I'm going to tell you something. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact. The battle is spiritual. The devil is having a heyday right now. The devils are. He's going to get free reign here in short time after we're out of here. And if we're going to end well, we're going to do it on our knees in that book and doing what Jesus Christ called us to do. And identify, we are not ignorant of his devices. What are his devices? Not just the Apple iPhone, amen. His devices are to get inside a church, destroy the dirt, destroy the music, destroy the Bible believing, destroy everything he can destroy, and leave people without hope. Say, well, I'm still saved, but you have no hope of doing anything for the Lord or pleasing the Lord because you don't believe anything anymore. And if he could get you to, you know, I just want to satisfy my flesh the rest of my days. Well, first of all, the flesh is never satisfied, but second of all, you're going to waste what God's given you if you live it for the flesh. The reality. The request to separate, the remembering of her iniquities, the reward for her works in an hour. She's going to be destroyed. Boop, gone. A great whore. The reaction of her partners. Oh, woe is me. You know why? Because they lost their worldly riches. They lost their worldly riches. You know what they were going to do? They were going to build bigger barns. They were going to store up more things. And you know what the Lord said? Thou fool. Their soul's going to be required of them. And they're going to be upset because the worldly things are gone. And without Christ, they're going to be eternally upset in a lake of fire. The reaction of our partners, the rejoicing in heaven, praise the Lord, all those folks, all those saints, not just the saints. Look what it says again. Go back to verse number 20. And the beast was taken. Oh, wait, excuse me, I got on the wrong page here. Number 20 of chapter 18. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. We've got the tribulation saints up there under the altar saying, how long, O Lord, how long before you avenge us of this death they give us of being headed? And he says, just hang on, it's coming. As soon as the others die the way you died. Then he's talking about the apostles and the prophets that were killed by the religious system that's being destroyed in chapter number 18. Who put Jesus Christ on the cross? Our sins did. The Babylonian belief system that people bought into did. Who killed the apostles? The Babylonian system, the spiritual system the devil set up against the truth. Who killed the prophets? The same system that's against the truth. What's our opposition today? The same system that's against the truth. Well, it's the Mormons. It's the Seventh-day Adventists. It's Jehovah's Witnesses. I wouldn't argue much on any of that. But it's because they got caught up in these systems. The devil doesn't care if you all believe the same thing unless you all believe the same thing and it's the right thing. The devil loves for the Mormon church to preach baloney. He loves for the Jehovah's Witnesses to knock on the door and tell people, oh, Jesus ain't God. He loves for the Seventh-day Adventists to say, well, you got to keep this, that, and the other. He loves that stuff. You know what he hates? He hates Jesus Christ. He hates this book. And if we're sticking with those two things, he's going to hate this church. Say, hate's a strong word. Not for the devil. It might be too weak. The rejoicing in heaven, all the apostles and the prophets and all those martyrs are going to say, praise the Lord, the whore's gone. Finally avenged. The reality of the battle, that spiritual battle. Look at chapter 19. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with their fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. The rejoicing in heaven, the reality of the battle. And we see here finally, and this is the ultimate pinnacle of what's going to happen, the righteous judge exalted. Praise the Lord, they say, for true and righteous are His judgments. And He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth. You're underestimating the enemy. The great whore just didn't corrupt Catholicism. It didn't corrupt Mormonism. It didn't just corrupt the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Seventh-day Adventists or whatever. It's corrupted the whole earth. You know what it's in opposition to? The one that's going to regenerate the whole earth. It's Christ and the Antichrist. Well, I just think if we were a little more accepting and a little more loving and a little more, you know, I don't know, we're a little less old-fashioned, and we could just maybe not change the music a lot, but change it a little, and maybe not talk about the blood so much, maybe not sing about the blood so much, maybe not talk about sin, but just talk about happy things. I think we could have a big, prosperous church. I wouldn't go to it. God's idea of prosperous and Joel Osteen's idea of prosperous are two different things. Amen, amen, and amen. Win somebody to Jesus Christ. Wouldn't you like to take somebody with you at the rapture? Have you ever prayed for God to break your heart over an individual and give you the words? There are people on this earth, in this earth, that God would have to break my heart for before I could witness to them. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not saying I couldn't go through the motions, because we're good at going through the motions. But before I could genuinely care about their soul, God would have to put that in me. I can tell you right now, I don't want Hillary Clinton to die and go to hell. I don't. But I don't know if I could, from my heart, look at her in the eyes and say, I'm worried about your soul, and convince her that I'm worried about her soul. Because she has one, believe it or not. Amen. Barack Hussein Obama, I would have a much easier time talking to the kid with the backpack walking down the sidewalk about his soul and meaning it than I would Barack Obama. Why is that? Because the system of division that the devil is using to get people to stop doing what God's called them to do is immense and intense. And it's affected all of us. We shouldn't see Democrats and Republicans. We should see lost people and saved people. I'm not talking about voting. I think you ought to vote for the one closest to the Bible. But a Republican senator, a Democrat senator, a Libertarian senator, all of those people are going to go to heaven or hell. And you know Jesus Christ died for all of them? You guys can go home. I'm preaching to me now. He died for all of them. But the devil wants to fill us with hate to the point where we don't care about their soul. To hell with them. They want to take my guns. They should just... Damnation's not enough for them. They want my free speech. They ripped the beard out of Jesus Christ. Beat him till he couldn't walk. Drove a crown of thorns in his head. Put nails through his hands and feet. Stuck a spear in his side, spat on and ridiculed him, and he is God himself, and he did it and said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do. And he said, it is finished, because he paid the debt for the people that didn't know what they did. And you and I have been vacuumed into the vortex of garbage to believe that the Republicans are good and the Democrats are bad, and there's only one good, and that's God. There's a bunch of wicked-hearted sinners out there on both sides of the aisle, and without Christ, I don't care if they're red or blue, they're going to burn in hell forever. Your neighbor that flies the Obama flag still, he's going to burn in hell without Jesus Christ. Your neighbor that was looking for the second coming of Trump instead of the second coming of Christ, without Christ, he'll burn in hell. Amen? Your relative that you can't stand, because all they do is attack you personally when you try to love them, without Jesus Christ, they'll burn in hell. But see, it's not temporary. They want to pretend like, oh, hell's on earth. This is all... It's not temporary. It's eternal. I challenge you. I'm going to challenge me and us, all of us, to let the Lord put the people on your heart today that He brings to your mind that you know need Jesus Christ, and ask Him to give you the heart to actually love them enough to care about whether they burn in hell or not. Not just from here. but from here. From the heart. It's easy to get into a program and say, I want to witness to everybody I see. The hard part's actually walking with Jesus Christ and witnessing with the idea that you don't want them to burn in hell forever at the foremost part of your mind. Boy, I wish I'd have stayed home today. Well, you get to go home here in a few minutes if you want. But I'm going to pray that God takes this message and sends it home with you. Amen? Because I love you, and I want you to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and Him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Take somebody with you. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Plant, water, and watch God give the increase. You know what farmers do? They till the ground. That's a picture of Christ preparing the heart. They plant the seed. That's a picture of a witness putting Jesus Christ in somebody's heart. They water. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit dealing with that seed. And that seed doesn't come out of the ground unless God says it does. And you know what? He supplies the dirt. He supplies the seed. He supplies the water. And He gives the increase. What I'm saying is plant some seeds. Maybe instead of going, hey, you know what? I'm going to Peter Cartwright. I'm going to drag them off their horse. I'm going to beat them until they get saved. Sometimes that sounds like a good idea. But how about, Lord, give me the wisdom and give me the right heart. And how about sometimes you just have to say, you know what? We don't agree on everything, and that's fine, but I love you. And I believe the Bible. And I believe you're going to go to heaven or hell, and I don't want you to go to hell. I'm going to pray for you. Well, you blank, 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 blank. You know, I don't need your prayers. I don't need that. I don't believe that. You believe that fairy tale. Just love you and I'll pray for you. I think we've allowed ourselves to be beat up to the point where we almost can't care anymore from the heart. I can preach it to you and you can get it from the head and say, boy, I know I'm going to the judgment seat. But until God plants it in your heart, you're not going to be an effective witness. God needs to break our hearts for the lost. And the devil wants to break the unity of the saved. Even so, come Lord Jesus, we're all looking for the rapture. Who are you taking with you? Who are you taking with you? So I don't speak well, I don't do this well, I don't know, I get nervous when I talk about the Lord. How about, hey, love you, care about your soul. Let me give you something to read about Jesus Christ. If you have any questions, give me a call or call my pastor or whatever. Or come to church Sunday. Ask the pastor. Whatever. Find a way to tell people about Jesus Christ. And the way to do it when your heart's broken for them. That has to come from the Lord. It has to. I can't give you that heart. I can't even give me that heart. But I can show you the one who can. The smoke of her torment went up forever and ever. A great whore. She won't be alone. Because the smoke of folks' torment with rejecting Jesus Christ will go up forever and ever. Father, we love you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to meet today.